Joseph Pacek of barnburner.ca, our twice daily podcast is entitled Fire It Up, now on iHeartRadio, Spotify, SoundCloud, and 101 platforms. Welcome to another edition of EPL Back of the Net with the Hall of Famer and now world champion, John Freeman Nelson of OSG Sports in Atlanta. Let's get to the EPL games from this past weekend. Your team, Chelsea, stunning Manchester City 2-0.
Yeah, and that is really one of the bellwether moments of the season so far. And I want to see really how Manchester City responds, and I want to see how Liverpool handles it with everything the way it is at the top of the ladder right now. But a signature win early in the Saudi administration for Chelsea. And I think it's going to be a bit of a soul search and a wake-up call for Manchester City. I think that for the players, not necessarily Pep Guardiola, because Pep knew that the season was going to be, you know, rough and ready. But now you have that fallibility there. And you know that Manchester City, they want the treble. They want as many pieces of hardware that they can get in a season. And this put a big dent in what they were thinking right now when it comes to the Premier League. So I want to see how the players respond. I want to see how Pep Guardiola manages things through the media and with the daily practices. And if you haven't seen the All Access show that was on chronicling last season that's on Amazon, I would recommend it because it gives you a great window as to how Pep Guardiola views his tenure and views what he wants to do when it comes to everything Manchester City. But a big win for Chelsea to put a big dent in the plans for Manchester City.
All right, Liverpool 4-0 over Bournemouth.
Yeah, this one kind of got out of control in the second half. I mean, you know, you look at Bournemouth and once again you have to tip your hat to Eddie Howe with what he's done every single year that he's been in charge at Bournemouth and putting them, you know, mid-table and safely from 7 to 10, 7 to 12. And that's what they are right now. And you kind of knew that this stretch in the schedule against the top six was going to pretty much challenge them and kind of give us a good idea and give them a good idea as to where the cherries are. So it was competitive early. Then Mo Salah gets his hat trick, and it was a tremendous work by Liverpool to put them at the top of the ladder. But once again, not a surprise. Great effort from Bournemouth, and it's just another way that they can measure themselves in that 7-12 situation.
1-0 Arsenal over Huddersfield.
And that's all you really need right now if you're Arsenal. Just win and move on. I think it's now 20 or 21 undefeated in all competitions for Unai Emery and Arsenal. And I look at it more from a Huddersfield perspective than I do an Arsenal perspective, looking at David Wagner and how competitive Huddersfield is against the top six. I mean, this match was scoreless for the first 60 minutes. So when you can do that with teams in short weeks and competitions and try to jump on them, then I look at the Terriers as a team that's going to be around. I'm not... They'll obviously, just because they're not getting points, they'll be a part of the relegation discussion all season. I don't think they're going to be the one that will, one of the three that will be dropped because of how competitive they are. They'll get their points at home. It's just how are they going to respond on the road going forward? And I think there's a lot of promise because what we've seen with Arsenal against Arsenal and Liverpool.
All right. Burnley 1-0 over Brighton.
This one was big because a lot of folks were looking at Burnley as a part of the discussion down at the bottom of the table. I'm not. I just think that their defense is too good and they've just got to get some scoring. And these are the games that you've got to grind out and you've got to win. So big 3 points for Sean Dyche when you're looking at it. So, you know, these are going to come. And I think that these matches themselves are more of a signal as to who Burnley is as opposed to where they are right now on the table.
Cardiff 1-0 over Southampton.
And Southampton's got a new coach, but I still think that these are going to be two of the three teams that are going to be a part of the discussion. But if you're Cardiff and, you know, you're Neil Warnock, you take full advantage of matches like this where you can hop on a Southampton. Really, for me, it's Fulham, Southampton, Cardiff, Crystal Palace, Huddersfield, five or six teams that are going to be a part of this discussion. But in these relegation six-pointers, for Cardiff to get that work done was big.
Manchester United pulling a big victory over Fulham 4-1.
Yeah, and this is the Fulham team that I think is going to be there the entire season. I mean, you tip your hat to Ranieri for what he was able to do, and the games against the teams at the top of the table are where Fulham is going to struggle, just because I don't think they can match defensively. So not a shock that the result was what it was. Probably, I think, putting four on Fulham to me was a bit more of a surprise than Manchester United getting the win. But Fulham, it's going to be a long season for Claudio Ranieri.
All right, West Ham United 3, Crystal Palace 2.
And this is, I think this is, you know, the West Ham team, this is the hammer squad that I think that we are all looking at with Pellegrini. And Chicharito is finally getting his due, and he's getting reps, and he's putting the ball in the back of the net, which is what he was hired to do when he was brought there. Crystal Palace is just in a world of hurt, and I don't know what they can do to turn things around. You need a scorer in the January transfer window. Can you get it? I think that's the first question. And what can you do with it? And how does Crystal Palace get wins? And the only way that I can think of is that you beat up on your brethren down low. I look at West Ham as someone who's going to be safe by the end of the year, but I think Crystal Palace is going to be a part of the discussion. I think they'll stay up by the end of it, but it's going to be a long slog if you're a fan of Crystal Palace.
All right. Last match, we're going to look at Spurs getting by with a 2-0 victory.
And, you know, once again, this is a team that's top five, and these are the results that you anticipate. And so if you're the guy who's really wanting these kinds of results, I mean, if you're a Spurs fan, these are the kind of things that you know that you're going to have to grind out. And so not a surprise that they did. So once again, keeping pace with everybody, that's what Spurs have to do.
All right, some news items here. What's going on with Sterling, racism and everything like that? Sterling?
And once again, required viewing for anyone who's listening. It was, the topic was raised that Chelsea fans basically were just screaming racial epithets at Sterling. And then there was the way, and Sterling came back and discussed the issue with how the papers are treating headlines if you're a white footballer and a black footballer. And the comparison that Raheem Sterling made was that there was a black football player who's tied to a Premier League club, and the headline went out of its way to kind of explain that, yes, this black football player was putting his family in a £25,000 a month flat. And then it takes about one third the language to talk about Phil Foden from Manchester City buying a $2 million flat for his family. And so Raheem Sterling went the high road with it and discussed how the media are breaking down issues and storylines and making stories where there shouldn't be stories. And it's disgusting that soccer fans and football fans still think that they have to be this way instead of being, I don't know, adults when it comes to being fans. And I know that fan is short of fanatic. I get that. But be an adult, be an example for others, because if you take your son or daughter to a soccer match, and they're there with you, and you see some jack wagon who's going to just start screaming racial stupidity at an athlete just because of the color of his skin, those are environments that you don't want to put your kids in. While it is a bit of a learning experience, you don't want to be there, and it's just poison, and it poisons us all going forward. So Robbie Earle went on with Rebecca Lowe on, I want to say it was Sunday morning, and they discussed what Raheem Sterling did. It was a 7-minute conversation. So go to the NBC Sports Soccer Twitter feed, because they posted the whole 7-minute conversation. And what is yelled at athletes like Raheem Sterling is absolutely disgusting. There's no place for it in the sport, and there's no place for it if you're a fan of any sport. Doesn't matter what sport we're talking about here. But Robbie and Rebecca broke it down very, very well. And Robbie, who played in the top leagues of British football, apologized to Raheem Sterling as a fellow black athlete for not doing his job as best as he could. And I thought it was a very noble thing to do. He didn't need to make the apology, but this is your required viewing of the day. It's a 7-minute conversation that Rebecca and Robbie had about racism and where it is right now in sport. And I think it's an important thing that we all need to look at. We all need to learn from. And really, if you're at a sporting event, and this is for anyone who's listening, if you're at a sporting event and you see something like this and you're there with your kids, help everyone around you learn from it and shout it down, because those individuals who think that their fandom gives them the right to shout really stupid and racist things has no business in what we're doing in sport today and how we're trying to make things grow.
Amen to that. Certainly, I echo those sentiments, and check out what John said about required viewing. Simply, you think that everything, you know, we progress, and we hear stuff like this, it's like regress 50 years, right? So
yeah, it is. You're stepping back basically 60 years back in the 1950s. It's inexcusable for all of us, and I think that when there are opportunities to take a stand and to make a stand, that we should as best we can.
That's right. That's John Freeman Nelson. John, tell everybody how they could get a hold of you.
Easiest ways on the Twitters at OSG Nelson. Follow along at Soccer Down here as well. And you can follow along 9 a.m. to 11 Eastern time on Spreaker or on the Soccer Down Here app for iOS and Android. And soccerdownhere.net for all the news that's fit to print and all the live event streaming. And you can also catch the show there as well. At Longshue for Jason Longshore, at Jared_Smith for Jared Smith. And you can follow along on Facebook at Soccer Down Here. Follow me at John Freeman Nelson on Facebook, because there's 1116 John Nelsons. I added the Freeman just to be different. And on Instagram, it's Cute Sports Guy, because when the boss says that's what you are, that's what your handle is.
Thanks a lot, John.
Anytime, my friend.